You got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16 this morning. Acts chapter 16 is where we're going to be in the Word of God. Acts chapter 16. Hope we can preach to you today something that'll help you and encourage your heart. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 16. We'll be breaking in at the 16th verse. Got your place? Say amen. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel with a spirit of divinations met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same following Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they brought Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our cities and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the inner prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, whom, having received much a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in shackles. Let us pray. Father, as we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would speak through us today. God, that you will give us, Lord, what you have placed upon our hearts, Lord, that we can give it to your people. May they open their ears of hearing, their hearts of understanding, and receive your message today. God, it's your word, not mine. And Lord, we provided the vessel this morning. You send the preacher, Lord, and we'll do what we can to honor your name. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. And I'm going to read you the rest of this. Verse 25, And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Don't sound like prisoners to me. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, I want you to notice that. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awoke out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Suppose that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out aloud, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the words of the Lord and to all that were in the house. Here we see in this chapter Paul and Silas preaching in the regions of Derbe and Lystra and Iconium. They're helping organize and set up churches in these areas, and they are growing in great numbers. And one night Paul gets a vision. And the vision tells him to go to Macedonia because they need help over there. So they follow the will of God and they go. I wonder this week, has the Lord spoke to you and have you followed His will today? I'm going to preach on a title that you never heard before. This is going to be a little bit different for you. And what's funny about it is because Brother Aaron said, I never thought about picking out songs that may match your message. I said, you won't have a song to match this one. I'm going to preach on today, Jailhouse Rock. Wouldn't it have been funny to heard him sung that this morning? Jailhouse Rock is what we're going to preach on. You may feel like today that you're going through something all alone. But I'm going to tell you today, you need a shaking of the Holy Spirit of God. If we're going to do what God wants in our life, we need to be shook up today. And I ain't talking about what Elvis sung about. I'm talking about being shook to the core in our hearts and in our life that we may follow the will of God. But there's some things that you've got to know. And I want to start today and tell you the first one. If you're going to know what God wants in your life, they have to be a trial in your life. If you're going to know what God wants in your life, they've got to be a trial. And if we'll look at verse 17 here, we can see how they're being mocked. He says, the same following Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, in a normal setting, this would have been wonderful. This would have been good that people were bragging on Paul and Silas, recognizing them as the man of God. But that wasn't what was going on. They were being mocked by this woman that was possessed of a spirit. And I'm telling you today, these people that go around that can just tell you that they can tell you your future and they can talk to the dead and all these things, what's wrong with these people? They're possessed with a spirit, an evil spirit. And if they were soothsayers or psychics, as they so-called say that they are, they would know you when you showed up. They would know that you were a child of God. But they're phonies because they're following after the ways of the devil. Can I hear from you this morning? Here she's crying out and she's saying, these men are the men of the Most High God. Hear them. But they realized what she was doing, and Paul was grieved in his spirit. I'm going to tell you today, you better watch out when the man of God gets grieved, because God's fixing to do something. When God has put something on the man of God to do, and his heart gets grieved because the people have come against him and have hindered him from the will of God, you better watch out. God's fixing to shake things up. Amen? He's going to shake things up. Here we see Paul and Silas. They're on a mission for the Lord. They need to go and do the works of God. And here this devil has come and tried to hinder them in a mighty way. So we see that there has to be a trial. Paul and Silas is fixing to go into a trial. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 says, beloved, think it not strange when concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened. A lot of times we say, I don't know why I'm going through this. Why is the Lord putting this on me? Why? You should never ask why. I would look at you and say, why not you? It hurts the person down the road as bad as it hurts you. Did you ever think about that? That person that's suffering death in their family right now would hurt. They're hurting as bad as you are when it happens to you. There's no difference. I'm going to tell you this morning, when you stub your toe, it hurts your toe as bad as it does mine when I stub mine. You don't have a different pain stubbing your toe than I do. They hurt the same way. Okay? And there's going to be things we go through, and we shouldn't think it's strange when we go through fiery trials in this life. Now I'm going to go step off into something here for just a moment. I thank the Lord for doctors, and we've got wonderful doctors. We've got doctors here. We've got great nurses, and they can look you over, and they can help you and prescribe medicine to help you. And if you need the medicine, you should take the medicine. That's what God given the wisdom to do, to make this medicine to help you. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there's awful an evil spirit in some of that as well. Some of these doctors, I'm not saying all of them, has hooked people on prescription medicine as bad as those that are on the street selling drugs. And they get hung on this medicine, and it controls their life and can destroy your life and put the awful trial in your life that you've ever had. I'm telling you this morning, I got two amens right there. I know how it is. I'm dealing with families right now that have gotten drug addicted from prescription medicine. It started off right, but somewhere along the way it got out of control. And the devil will tell you you need it. And if you need it, you should take it. But you need to take it the way the doctor tells you to take it. You shouldn't abuse it. But what happens is when you take it and it makes you feel in a way that you can forget the pain, then the devil says, take a little more so you can forget that pain. Forget that trial. Forget those fiery temptations and trials that you're going. Take a little more. You can forget all that so you take a little more. And you say to yourself, I'm not doing too bad. All that's getting behind me now, and I can focus on what I want. And it's not hurting as bad, so I take a little more. The devil says, take a little more. And take a little more. And the next thing you know, you're no benefit for nobody because you're hung upon prescription drugs. See how far you're away? That's what the devil will do to you. It's getting quiet in here this morning. I knew I'd get in your yard this morning, so I might as well get on in, stomp the marigolds and that tulips down there. I might as well do it all this morning. I'm telling you where we're living at this morning, church. You shouldn't count it strange when fiery trials come your way. You're not going to find the help that you need inside of a bottle. You're not going to find it in a liquor bottle. You're not going to find it in other things. The Lord Jesus Christ who can help us through the fiery trials. We've got to commit our ways unto Him and exalt Him in all of that we do so He can direct our paths. My heart was broke last night. I went out to a restaurant. I never would say who it was in the whole situation. But I was sitting right across from a professed Christian that had professed to me years ago that they were born again, ready to go, living for God, loved God, stood there with tears running down their face. And I look over, and they're sitting there drinking a beer this big and handling talk that's not right. And doing things that were dishonest. And I know that they've been caught in corruption and drugs and everything else. And they claim to be children of God. Lord, help us. And we get in this kind of shape. It's hard. Life is hard. And it is hard to go through trials. And it ain't fun to go through trials. But I'll tell you what, if we'll keep our eyes on the cross, if we'll keep our eyes on Him, when the devil comes whispering in our ears and telling us how bad it is, take this, do that, you can get over it. We need to put all of our trust in Him, and He'll get us through it. He'll make a way where there is no way. There in 1 Peter in 4, chapter 4, verse 13, he said, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Why? Because you have overcome it. You have overcome it. Now, we all have problems. Every one of us deal with different things. And Brother David Harrison preached a message on the dangers of it. And I told him I was going to glean from that someday. I hope the Lord will give me a series of messages that I can preach on the dangers of. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the devil is a manipulator. He is a manipulator when the trials come. The first thing he'll do is get you to look at your whole surroundings and what's going on in your life. If God loves you so good, you wouldn't be where you're at. If you honor God and live for God, look where you're at. And then you start on a pity party. And then the depression comes. And then you start closing the doors. And you want away from the family. You want away from the companions. You don't want to be around nobody. You don't want to go to church. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? The devil is trying to trick every one of us. He's trying to steal our joy this morning. If you let him steal it, he'll take it from you this morning. He'll make you the most miserable person that's ever stood on two feet. I'm glad he can't do nothing with our salvation. I'm glad that we're secure in the Lord. But I'll tell you one thing. He can snatch the joy right out of your life. A lot of times we'll be so happy in the Lord. Here come the devil feeding us a bunch of lies. And we'll hand our joy right over to him. There you go, devil, take it. And he takes it. And the next thing you know, we're sitting in a dark room with our lip hanging down, so depressed, and we don't know what to do. Amen? Trials. We're going to have trials. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no," notice this, you ought to mark this in your Bible, "there hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. He will make a way of escape that you can bear it. I like to say it like this. He won't put no more upon me than he can handle. Because he's the one taking care of it anyhow. He knows what we stand in need of, so he'll take care of it. And let me tell you something. After last Sunday, man, we had a wonderful service, two wonderful services. And I went out of here, I was just floating, boy. It was just wonderful. I went home, I was wore slap out, and it was just good. I mean, it was a good Easter Sunday. Everything was wonderful, and all of a sudden, the devil showed up. And he didn't let up. Even this morning when I got up, the devil was still bound, beating and a pounding. You know what I done? I said, get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to the house of the Lord. And here I am. Now, if I'd have looked at everything that was going on in my life, all the trials that's there, all the things that we're going through, I could have just sat at the house and they said it'd been easier. But yet I got up, I put my good smelly stuff on, I put my clean clothes on, and here we go. We're going down to the house of God. You better be glad I put the smelly stuff on. You wouldn't want to hug me and shook my neck and shook my hand smelling like I've been out in the pasture. But no temptation has become you, came to you, tried to overcome you that he won't take care of. He loves you today. So they have to be trials that we're going to go through. Paul and Silas has seen it here. And then they won't be just a trial. There's going to be a test. Some of you may feel like that you've been put to the test this week. You may have even thought about, I'm just going to quit. It'd be easier just to sit down and not do nothing. Every time I try, it just everything piles in on me. Seems like the closer I try to get to the Lord, the harder it gets. Welcome to the battlefield. When you came and got saved, you became a soldier for the Lord. You didn't come in here to be a gardener and pick flowers all your servitude. You come in to fight. You come in to be trained. You came in to be equipped, ready to fight the battle. So when the enemy shows up, you're armed, you're ready. You're ready to take him face forward. You're ready to go this way, not this way. If you read over in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And he explains the armor, and it's all on the front of the soldier. There's nothing back here in the back. Why? We're not to retreat. We're to face the enemy straight on when the test comes. And I promise you, there'll be a test. Maybe not at the end of the service, but there'll be a test in your life. There may be one here today. You're being tested in your walk with Christ. Well, does it really matter? Yes, it really matters. Over in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully," I mean that's willfully, "despitefully use you." Have you prayed for somebody like that here? I'm talking about the test now. We're in the middle of a test. Here comes your enemy. They don't like you. They're going to do everything they can against you. Maybe you've worked real hard at work. You've been there for years. You've been working towards that promotion, and you deserve it. And all of a sudden, one comes available. That's the one you've had your eyes on. They've just hired a new person, and they get that position. How's that make you feel? I'll make you mad real quick, won't it? I'll make you lash out real quick. I'll raise my hand because you feel like you deserve it. But what's the right thing to do? We're to pray for them, love them, show them the love of Christ. Maybe God didn't want you in that position because he knows you couldn't handle it. You know what? I always thought, man, I'd like to have a lot of money. I could help a lot of people. You know, I'm getting almost 50 years old, and I'm getting to thinking, you know, that money ain't never come. You know why? Because God probably figured out I couldn't use all that money. It may have made me somebody I didn't need to be. Maybe he would have drawn me away from God and not to his will. Maybe if I'd have had a lot of money, I couldn't have been here today. I'd have been somewhere else. God's kept me where I'm at financially so He can use me. He knows what I am in my heart. He knows what you are in your heart. But we're to pray and seek God in our lives when these testing times come. Romans 12 and 20. The Bible says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. So those that are poking at you, those that are coming against you, those that are doing everything they can do to make your life miserable, what should you do? Be mean to them? Get revenge? Try to get back at them? Do to them what they're doing to you? No. We're to show them the love of Christ. We're to go that extra mile. We're to show them love. That's not fair. I want revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. He says in another part of the Scriptures, touch not my anointed. You are His little ones. If you be offended by the world, by these other people, He said it'd be better for a millstone to be hung about their neck and cast into the depths of the sea. Why? Because you're His chosen people. You're the ones that He died for. You're the ones that He loves. He's watching out for you, amen. He knows what you need today in the middle of your test. You're in the trial, you're in the test. He knows what you need today. He knows what you're going through today. So when your enemy is hungry, feed him. Be good to them. Brother Gary, what do I do when somebody lies on me? You be good to them. If they come and steal something out of my driveway, out of my home, what do I do? You be good to them. If they get caught, be good to them. Show them mercy. For the mercy that you show to them shall be returned to you. It's getting quiet in here. That's the way it works. It's not our place as children of God to have vengeance. Now we see here Paul and Silas, they're trying to do the will of God, and they've come against them. When they cast the devil out of the woman, they got mad about it because the magistrate's gain was gone. They couldn't get no more money out of her. She couldn't do what the devils had been working through her. So they went after the men of God that cast the devils out. And when they got a hold of them, the Bible says that they drug them into the marketplace in front of everybody and began to beat them and stripe them and make fun of them and bring them down to nothing before everybody and throw them in an inner prison. I wonder if they come in here today and drug us out of this church and beat us half to death out there and then took us to Kingsport and throwed us in jail, what kind of pity party we would have down there. Oh, it's so bad. I didn't deserve it. I try to work for God. Give me a lawyer. I'm going to sue somebody for all that they've done to me. That's what we do. Because we've been desensitized to the will of God. We think only this way of what could be in it for me. But I'm glad that Paul and Silas, when they were dragged down there to the jail, beat half to death, thrown in the inner prison there, they're there in a rotten place. The jailhouse wasn't like the ones I preached about a couple weeks ago. It was a rotten, dirty, nasty place. If you do research on it, back in the old times in them inner prisons, they were wet, they were dark, they had to sit in their own feces and slop and rats and everything. It was awful there. But here's two men of God that love God. They're beat half to death. They're looking at each other. What do we do now? And I don't know which one of them said what. It got about the midnight hour. One looked at the other and said, you know what we ought to do? What? We ought to just sing praises. I think that's a good idea. I'm talking about two men in tune with God. Have been through the trial, they're in the middle of their test. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to lift up the name of the Lord. Let's just sing unto Him and bless His name. No matter what we're going through, we're going to honor the Lord. Let's start singing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And the rest of the prisoners are going, what in the world is going on down there? There's a blood trail where they drug them in and throw them in, and they're singing. What is wrong with them men? Oh, how I love Jesus. And it stirred the rest of them up. And when they began to sing, they lifted up their voices, and all of a sudden, they looked over heaven and they heard it. And I know what God said. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shake the place up. I'm going to wake some people up. And the Bible said long about the midnight hour when they began to sing songs that God shook the very foundation of the prison and the jail doors flew open. I'm talking about a foundation. It wasn't just a little bitty tremor either. I believe it shook so hard it broke the foundations, the doors flew open, and the shackles fell off their hands and feet. You got to realize that jailer was given a great charge. And he knew when he took that job, if any prisoner gets loose under your guard, we're going to take your life. You'll die for it. That was a heavy charge. Imagine if the job you had right now, if you made a mistake on it, they would tell you, if you make a mistake, we're going to come in there and kill you. No second chances, you're dying. Well, we'd work a lot harder, wouldn't we? I mean, making sure everything was just right, you know. But this is what's going on. And the jailer, as soon as he fell asleep, midnight hour, it's time to go to sleep. But he's trying to watch, he's trying to sleep. You know, he's fell off to sleep. And all of a sudden, there's an earthquake comes through so hard that it shakes him plumb out of his seat. When he falls out of his seat, he looks down through the corridor, and all the jail doors are hanging open. So he knew right then, I'll take my own life. I don't want to go through that torture that they're going to put me through. So he pulls his sword out. No doubt, Paul may even hear it rung when it come out of the case. He said, whoa, don't do it. Wait a minute, we're all still here. No doubt he's standing there with the sword in his hand thinking, what? I just drug them men in here hours ago, beat half to death. They've been singing all night long. I can't sleep. And here this place is just about fell down around my ears. What's going on? But he might have been hearing about what they are singing about. And I'll tell you what, when you get around the presence of God, it'll put some comfort in your life. It'll touch your heart. No doubt he may have been soothed by what they were singing about, thinking in his heart, you know what? I'd like to have that in my life. I'd like to have a piece of my life. No matter if they'd beat me or not, I could still sing the praises of God. Are y'all with me this morning? I'd like to sing the praises of God no matter what kind of trial is in my life. I'd like to have what them boys has got, but you know what? They're prisoners. And I'm the jailer. I can't go down there and ask him. He probably may have thought, the Bible doesn't say, he might have been up there thinking, you know what? This was different circumstances. I might go ask him, guys, what it takes to be saved. But you know, under these circumstances, I can't do it. I really need something in my life. Well, if there's something, some way that I could talk to them men, I'd ask them about that. Why they're so happy, and I need some happiness in my life. You know what? God may have heard his thought of his heart. God might have known what was going on in his heart. He already knew about the whole situation. He said, I know how I'm going to get them to him. I'll just shake the place up. I'll turn this place upside down. That way Paul can get to him and Silas can get to him and give him my gospel. That way we'll win another one and win him home to me. That's what I'm going to do. I'll shake it up. And I'm going to tell you what, you that are standing stagnant in your life and God ain't done nothing in your life and you're hooked on every kind of drug and every kind of pornography and everything that the devil has to offer, I'm going to tell you what, God's done told me he's fixing to shake you up. Amen. Like you ain't never been shook in your life. It's time to get right. It's time to live for God and quit playing church. I'm sick of going to these places, seeing people professing God and living like the world. I'm sick of seeing people out in the marketplaces and they're living like the world, claiming to be children of God. I don't know about you, but it about makes me sick sometimes. I can imagine what the Lord thinks about it. It must be make him sick to his stomach to see that he gives such a perfect sacrifice and people have thrown it away for a bottle or for a pill. I'm not saying any of you in here are guilty of it. But I'm telling you this morning what God's told me to give you. He's fixing to shake things up, and I hope you're ready for a shaking. I've got to hurry. Lastly, this is all going to lead to a testimony. The trial and the test is going to lead to a testimony. You ever notice the first four words of testimony? What is it? Test. You can't have a testimony without a test. You can't pass in school without a test. You can't pass in life without a test. There are going to be tests that we have to go by. I quote this verse a lot. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Psalms 119:2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and they that seek him with their whole heart. Proverbs 22 says, a good man is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. A good name. Do you want a good name today? Do you want a good testimony today? It's going to take some trial. It's going to take some testing to have a good name for the Lord. It just don't come easy. I've had to go through some things in my life so I could have a good name. I wasn't able always to go to the places everybody else went. I wasn't always able to do everything everybody else did. I always had to try to be the different one, the one to set a standard. Why? Because I wanted a good name for the Lord. And the devil's always trying to destroy it. And lastly, in 1 Timothy, I like this one, 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I wonder what your witness says today. I wonder what your testimony says today. I thought about this message as God gave it to me. And I come up with just a silly title, Jailhouse Rock. God was rocking the jailhouse long before Elvis was. Elvis thought in 1957 he had the corner on the market, but God had already been doing it a long time ago. But God's fixing to shake things up. He's been shaking Vickers Chapel ever since November 1st. He's been shaking this place. He's been shaking the stuff out, getting it right, getting things going, getting the stagnant thing stirred up. Let's get it all going. Let's get our eyes on the cross. Let's get moving for the Lord. He's been shaking the whole time. And I promise you, it ain't over yet. There's still a lot of shaking going to go on here at Vickers Chapel. But it's got to start in your life. You've got to allow God to shake your life. And when the testing and the trials come, you can't just sit down and quit. You can't sit down. You've got to get up and do something for the Lord. When those days that you're so depressed that you don't know what you're going to do, and somebody walks right up to you and says, Sister Kim, how you doing? Well, with the help of the Lord, I'm doing wonderful. She's having the worst day of her life, but she just all of a sudden just flipped it and told that person, I'm doing great with the help of the Lord. Show the devil he has no control over your life. I'm not saying you're depressed. I'm using you this morning. But it can happen to any of us. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands, but I'd say a lot of folks in here have been depressed this week. And you probably deal with depression on a daily basis. But I want you to know something. God is greater than all the depression. He's the victor in your life. Sometimes you have to step right over it. Say, devil, I am not going to give in. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And keep on stepping for the Lord and trust in Him. And let God shake it up in your life and move in your life. Paul and Silas went to jail for the Lord. And they won the jailer and his family and won them to the Lord, and they were baptized. And it's a wonderful ending of a great story. Yes, they had to go through a great trial. Yes, they went through great suffering. But God won for them in the end. And they won in the end. And we are going to win in the end. I've read the back of the book, and we win. I already know it. And you already know it. We just got to push our way through as these tests and trials come our way. and keep a good name. Can I hear from you this morning? As every head's bowed and every eye closed.